This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Both the Trump and Harris campaigns were in Pennsylvania last night.
In Erie, Pennsylvania, Harris letting Trump speak for himself, playing clips.
The worst people are the enemies from within.
Taking Trump to task.
And he is out for unchecked power. That's what he's looking for.
Describing a second Trump term as dangerous and a risk to America.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Trump cutting short the Q&A part of his rally after two people fainted. Swing state Georgia begins early voting today. That makes 44 states where early polls are open. The UN Security Council expressing strong concern over Israeli attacks on southern Lebanon that wounded UN peacekeepers. This is about 100 U.S. troops now being deployed to Israel as part of an advanced anti-missile defense system. FEMA workers in North Carolina abandoning door-to-door visits after receiving threats that they could be targeted by militia. Meanwhile, suspect accused of threatening FEMA workers arrested there. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrats are hitting battleground Wisconsin in the run-up to Election Day. Lisa Hale was with Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz in Green Bay yesterday.
Walz appealing to union labor and people who care about reproductive rights.
I'm going to make a message to the guys here. If you got any women you love in your life, your wives, your daughters, your mothers, and friends, let's not forget. Their lives are literally at stake in this election. Let's be very clear.
Kamala Harris is scheduled to return to Wisconsin Thursday. I'm Lisa Hale.
Spending is trending up in the race for U.S. Senate. Democrats have outspent Republicans so far, $93 million to $69 million, but Republicans are outspending Democrats between now and Election Day, $21 million to $15 million. Tammy Baldwin leads Eric Hovde by 7 points in the latest Marquette poll. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Minnesota Governor and Democratic Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz visited students at UW-Eau Claire yesterday. Walz encouraged people attending to get out and vote. Senator Tammy Baldwin joined Walz at the stop. First Lady Jill Biden spoke in Madison last night, and later this week, Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris will be in Wisconsin on Thursday with stops in La Crosse, Milwaukee, and Green Bay. No details have yet been announced for any of those stops. The November election is 3 weeks from today. A Minnesota poultry processing company went under, leaving farmers in western Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa on the hook for feeding tens of thousands of chickens. Here in western Wisconsin, farmers decided to give the birds away with over 170,000 chickens to get rid of. As of Monday, 20,000 to 30,000 chickens still needed to be given away. Minnesota and Iowa state governments are providing emergency relief to farmers, but no such law exists in Wisconsin for this type of situation, leaving farmers on the hook for the feed bill.
For Civic Media News in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Badgers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers preparing for another road trip, this time at Northwestern to face the Wildcats. Wide receiver Will Pauling, questionable despite not suffering a concussion against Rutgers. Luke Fickell says with 6 weeks into the season, he'll be paying more attention to players with injuries.
There's a balance to what you're doing, but you are starting to get to that middle of the second half of the season. This is a different league now, and you do have to be able to handle things a little bit different as you get to that mid-second half of the season.
NBA, the Bucks got their first win of the preseason with a 111-107 victory over the Chicago Bulls. The Bucks' new guard, Gary Trent Jr., and forward Taurean Prince got some playing time together. Head coach Doc Rivers.
They both have been fantastic. They're both very physical. And on the other end, they don't press. TP gets 5 shots or 10 shots or 1 shot. The demeanor is the exact same. You need players like that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's a little frosty out there this morning. We are going to have a hard freeze later tonight into tomorrow morning. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to the low to mid-50s here this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low dropping into the mid to upper 20s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. One more day it is cold tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what they say. I mean, I'm almost got out the winter jacket this morning.
Almost. Well, it really is and requires, you know, dressing warm, man. You know, it's cold.
I guess you didn't listen to your mother, Calvin, then, if you didn't get it out, because it was it's under 40 degrees. Freeze warnings tonight.
Yeah, so anything
you see. This is called autumn.
Any vegetation you still have in the ground is, you know, and flowers, they're gonna see the end probably in the next day or so. And those that are hardy enough to survive, you know, they'll make it. But those things that...
Mums the word. mums make it.
So if by now you don't know who that is, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. In fact, this perks you up. It's crisp.
Well, hey, it is the middle of October.
Yeah, this is on time.
So what comes after October?
Yeah, well, November, and actually, I did read today that now we had La Nina last year, which made it warm, and they're thinking about we're going to have El Nina this year,
which makes it cold.
So, we'll see.
Hey, Sandy. That kind of news I don't want to hear.
Mm. Well, just put your head in the sand with everyone else.
All right. So this morning we were going to be joined by Reggie Jackson, but Reggie has a family emergency. He called me a few minutes ago, and so we're going to reschedule Reggie. But we got a lot to talk about, as always, with Sandy. We're going to cover a lot of different areas. Sandy, one of the things we wanted to begin with is a man is running for president of the United States. Is threatening that he's going to use the military against his enemies.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the clip. It was totally alarming. And I told you, this is just something I feel compelled that we talk about, because this is a presidential candidate who said, this is the context. He said, look, immigration is a problem. But, you know, these immigrants are an army. They're an invading army. They're a terrible problem. But he said a bigger problem is the lunatic left, the enemy within. And then he described the enemy within as the lunatic left, meaning, I guess, liberals. And that these people needed to be dealt with. And he would deal with them with the National Guard, or if necessary, he said, with the federal army. And, you know, the National Guards, the commander-in-chief of each National Guard is the governor of each state. But ultimately, it can be nationalized. And what is he going to do with the military? Is he going to round up the lunatic left and put him in camps? What is the military? What role could they possibly have? And who is the lunatic left? Is it me? Is it you, Earl? I mean, what is the definition of the lunatic left that gets you to the position of being endangered by a Donald Trump presidency in which he will enlist the military of which he is the commander in chief? And would our military test the order of command? Would they honor a command from the military to do something which actually it goes directly against the Constitution, which is what each military person swears to uphold? I was astounded. I was both astounded and very concerned, because it's a really unhinged thing to say. And if it isn't unhinged, if it's premeditated, then it's truly dangerous.
So, Sandy, I'm not surprised at anything Donald Trump says or does. He's been saying things for a long time. What I will say is, when Hillary Clinton used the verbiage deplorables, she was ostracized and basically made mockery of. But Donald Trump can use lunatic left, and that's all right?
Well, not
and,
only...
And nobody responds to that?
And talk about them as being criminals. Criminals to be rounded up by the military. I mean, you use the military to round people up. You don't use the military to arrest them and try them for crimes. And what is it they're going to get rounded up for? Is it simply criticizing the government, or critiquing American policy, trying to improve it by critiquing it? Because, you know, critiquing the policy to some, I guess, is un-American.
So I'm sorry, Sandy, this doesn't get any better. We're 3 weeks out. We've been talking about Donald Trump and Republicans, you and I, for the last year or more, as we come, you know, beginning of this election cycle. And we've been careful and cautious to not appear to be on one side or the other. But the truth of the matter is, Donald Trump and what Republicans are talking about is a threat to this nation. And it's a clear threat to the democracy of this nation. And it's time people say that.
Well, I think
without hemming and hawing.
Yeah, I mean, the point is, the Republicans have lost... they've lost the control of the tiller, okay? So I'm not going to say Republicans as a broad group, because there are people who identify as Republicans who wouldn't, I'm sure, agree with what Donald Trump says he's going to do. But the point is that he is a person who the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, all these people who served under him, John Bolton, the guy who was the head of national security,
prominent people,
have all warned us that this is what we can expect, okay? That this person has talked about doing this in the past, that he asked the Secretary of Defense if he couldn't simply shoot protesters in the legs to get rid of them. You know, this is a person whose thought process runs like his mouth. And, you know, I think that to declare him a danger to be is not to risk his personal safety, but it's to declare to the country that the country is endangered if we pull the lever and vote for this person. And the action we should take isn't violence. It's simply we need to vote to make sure that this person who has violence in mind, I mean, using the military, using the National Guard to deal with the enemy within, which he defines as the lunatic left, is an indefensible posture. I'd be interested if any of our conservative callers could possibly agree with it. And if what they want to do is excuse it as simply an erratic thing that Donald Trump said but doesn't mean, I think that we all ought to stand up and worry about that, because we have to stop making excuses for this man.
So, Sandy,
and we have to listen to what he says.
I'm not as alarmed by those who we know who are conservative callers, because we already know.
No, but I mean, my point is that these are the people who are going to vote for him. And the people who are going to vote for him need to think about what he says he's going to do, how he behaves, and what the people who have operated most closely with him, not just three or four people, not just 10 or 20 people, but 50 or 60 people.
But Sandy, My fear is the silent people who know the man is insane and dangerous, but they're going to vote for him anyway. That segment of his supporters who, you know, will call and support him and back him up, we know who they are, and we know who, you know, how open they are about their love for him. But there's so many Americans apparently that we don't know, because it's a 50-50 race, who are going to vote for this man who should know better.
And we should.
They should know better.
And we should talk to that, because there are segments that we were talking about before the show of people who are, the people who are angry with their situation seem to be gravitating toward Donald Trump. He has tapped into anger and individualism, okay? And those two streaks are the things that seem to be prompting people to be in favor of him, whether they're strongly in favor of him or are pulling the lever because of their anger, and they're simply angry at the system, and this is their way of showing us that they're angry with the way things have gone. But it doesn't matter. A person who pulls the lever for Donald Trump is pulling the lever for this person who is saying they're going to behave like this, talking about what they're going to do to our government, and they ought to sit down and analyze the things that he says he's going to do to figure out which, if any of them, could possibly be beneficial to them, this person who's going to pull the lever in his favor.
Well, when you've been led to believe that your situation is based on somebody else, some other American or some other person who's coming into the country, and so it's their fault that I'm struggling.
Well, what he's done effectively, since we're angry with our situation and we don't know why, he said it's them, but he hasn't painted their picture clearly. It's not a photograph of somebody. It's a vague description of the deep state, okay? This government that doesn't do what you need them to do and seems to be operating freewheeling. It's them.
Well, you know, Sandy.
Or it's the immigrant. It's not a clear picture of an immigrant. It's just a broad group of people who he can paint as them.
Hey, Sandy.
Yeah.
People of color.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is. And the other day at his rally, there were swastikas all over in the audience. Donald Trump should have said, hey, take those down. If he was a fair man, he would have said, take those down. I don't want those at our rally. He continued his conversation with the swastikas all over. So people can say whatever it is they want to say about why they're supporting Donald Trump, but there are many people who are supporting Donald Trump for all the wrong reasons. And our nation is in trouble. And those people who continue to support him,
I would say this. I would say our nation is in trouble if we elect Donald Trump. I would say the nation currently seems to be headed in the right direction with projects and programs that are aimed at the Tom, Dick, and Mary that I hope we're talking to.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Oh, the shadows of doubt are in many a mind, looking for an answer they're never gonna find. But they better decide, 'cause they're running out of time. For these are the days of decision. Oh, the games of stalling you cannot afford. Dark is the danger that's knocking on the door. And the far-reaching rockets say you can't wait anymore. For these are the days of decision.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. If you're joining us looking for Reggie Jackson, award-winning editor of The Independent, he had an emergency this morning. He won't join us today, but we'll certainly get him back as soon as he's able. You know, Sandy, again, our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842.
Well, the music, just because picked that out. So this music is all about the decision process for voting and the need to vote. And there's been a lot of music about voting, and we're closing in on, we got three weeks from today. So 21 days.
So we were talking about, you know, the fact that Donald Trump is making threats of bringing the military in against people he deemed to be his enemies and people on the left. And so I have to, you know, you're challenging the fact that this seems to be something that's so far off the norm that he can say these kind of things and yet his popularity is increasing.
Yeah, I mean, to
that's
me,
the issue.
Yeah, I mean, to me, what it is that he's become a symbol rather than, and the symbol is more important than anything about what it is he says he's going to do. He's the symbol of angry Americans, and he's been able to tap into people's frustrations with their situation, whatever it is. And they've decided that Donald Trump reflects that. It resonates for them. But he hasn't, and he's promised vaguely to solve all problems. And so, the part of your reptile brain that doesn't think too clearly, that is angry and frustrated and drawn to this person who seems to reflect that and resonate that, stops thinking and stops asking questions when he talks vaguely about solving health problems, without any kind of a precision, about cutting all your taxes and making sure that everything is beautiful. Whenever he talks about things, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be the best in the world. I mean, anyone who talked like this, if you had your brain on and were thinking, you would turn your back on them and say, look, I got to talk to someone who's a real person, not someone who's simply selling BS.
So people are angry, Sandy, because, and they need to know why they're angry, and they need to know because of policies that have basically left behind some of the many American people.
Well, some of it's policies. Some of it is the evolution of the economy without guidance from the government. Okay, so the government hasn't provided all the kind of training that's necessary when technology is destructive, right? There's a destructive side to new technology because it destroys the jobs of the old technology that it replaced. And we as a general government have fallen short on the ability to come in and rapidly retrain people. We put them onto unemployment. We give them unemployment checks, which demeans them. And then we don't retrain them, okay? And other economies have been much more effective at retraining in the face of technological evolution. And the evolution towards a world economy, I mean, part of that evolution is just the rest of the world getting off its knees after World War II. When, you know, we had a 25-year vacation. We had a honeymoon after World War II. We were the only economy, and then we weren't. And ever since we weren't, we've failed to have a government that's responsive to guiding the architecture of our economy, our social socioeconomic economy, in a manner that has caused us now to have all this problems. Tom, Dick, and Mary's problems relate to health care, relate to education costs, relate to child daycare costs, relate to housing costs, all of which could be impacted by government policy, but is currently in the process of being attended to.
So Sandy, Dr. Martin Luther King wrote a book. I remember reading it in the early 70s. He wrote it in 1958, called Now Is the Time. He talked about the day that technology was going to eliminate many of the jobs. Back in 1958, he foresaw that. We've got a government who knew that and chose not to do anything about it. And so we can say that, you know, this happened because of the technology, but our government was aware. And so people are angry. The government did not do what it could have done to look out for its citizens. And so all of these people are left in the lurch, but they seem to believe that they're left in the lurch because of Democrats, and Democratic policies have somehow been the reason that they are struggling the way they're struggling.
I think the reason the Democratic policy hasn't been implemented is the filibuster. It's the gridlock in Washington, the inability of Washington to get things accomplished. We have gotten things accomplished as Democrats during the brief periods of time when they have the Senate and the House of Representatives and the presidency. Barack Obama got affordable health care, which was a remarkably big, you know, to tamper with the health care system was to take on lots of political giants that sleep under the rug but are difficult to move. But the situation really requires that we look at what's going on, and instead of simply being angry, people ought to look at what it is that might promise improvement in their situation. And it isn't a modest tax cut, okay? Because taxes aren't the problem for Tom, Dick, and Mary.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday, and if you're just joining us looking for Reggie Jackson, we've got to reschedule him. He had an emergency. But we're going to troop on anyway. You're tuned into a Tuesday edition of the Early Noon Show. My guest, our co-host, is Sandy Williams.
And the prize of the victory will belong to the bold. For these are the days of decision. Yes, these are the days of decision.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. You need a Department of Natural Resources permit to burn brush or debris in 13 Wisconsin counties. That's because ongoing dry weather is spiking the risk of wildfires. That'll remain the case for the foreseeable future. You don't need a permit for campfires or grills. There's more on the DNR website. Rural voters could decide this year's presidential election. Sarah Janes of the Rural Democracy Initiative says that rural voters tend to be swing voters interested in the needs of working people.
They're very focused on working people as kind of the heroes of the economy and concerns that impact working class people.
The initiative's most recent poll finds Donald Trump leading among likely rural voters in 10 battleground states, but that support has dropped between March and September. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. A Minnesota poultry processing company went under, leaving farmers in Western Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa on the hook for feeding tens of thousands of chickens. Here in Western Wisconsin, farmers decided to give the birds away with over 170,000 chickens to get rid of. As of Monday, 20,000 to 30,000 chickens still needed to be given away. Minnesota and Iowa state governments are providing emergency relief to farmers, but no such law exists in Wisconsin for this type of situation, leaving farmers on the hook for the feed bill. Trempealeau County was host to a campaign stop by Democratic U.S. Senators Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota on Monday. The senators visited a farm near Osseo to talk about the upcoming fall election. Baldwin, as she has done at other stops in her statewide tour, discussed the agriculture and healthcare parts of her platform, as well as her policy support for economic issues. Baldwin will debate her opponent, Republican Eric Hovde, this Friday. We'll have coverage right here on WLCX.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Andrew Garfield says after Heath Ledger shot Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight, he felt a great sense of accomplishment. The Spider-Man actor says that when Ledger arrived on the set of his next film with Garfield, called The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, catchy title, that he was downright smug. Garfield shared stories of his friend on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast. Ledger passed away 6 months before The Dark Knight hit the big screen from an accidental drug overdose in 2008 at the age of 28. Garfield added that Ledger wasn't cocky about it, but just knew he had done really great work in a really good film. It's always hard to watch a moving picture after reading the book, but Jane Austen fans still might not mind that Pride and Prejudice is coming to Netflix. The series is in the early stages of development. Variety reports that there is no cast yet attached, but this isn't the first time that Netflix has worked with Austen's material. In 2022, Dakota Johnson starred in the movie Persuasion. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's a little frosty out there this morning. We are going to have a hard freeze later tonight into tomorrow morning. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to the low to mid 50s here this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low dropping into the mid to upper 20s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we'll talk scary trolley tours in Door County with Carl Sarecki. And our favorite paranormal investigator, Todd Michaels, joins the show to talk ghost stories that are non-trolley related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
to Champagne High. Ball of confusion.
Temptation.
Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother. Rap on. Well, the only person talking about love now, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. So we're talking about and continuing our discussion about the fact that Donald Trump has made some vile threats about liberals and apparently those who are opposed to him. You know, using the military, you know, to punish people who don't support him.
I mean, that was it's one thing to just simply talk about the opposition. It's one thing to paint them with a brush that's intended to be, you know, this whole kind of polemic about Marxists and communists. And that's all speech, right? And it's not an actual threat, although it's a speech designed to stir people up in an extreme kind of way. But to talk about using military force against political opponents who he describes as left-wing lunatics, okay, that's just an extraordinary thing that I don't think it's unprecedented. If a presidential candidate talked like that, I think that people would turn their back on them very quickly.
So I don't want to refer to them as political opponents. They're American citizens, for heaven's sakes.
Well, I'm just saying that speech during campaigns can get pretty extreme, but this is beyond extreme. This is to talk about something that is designed to have a chilling effect, and it's designed, I think, to reflect the man's actual thought process. Because during the time he was president, he wanted to shoot demonstrators in the knees. He asked the Secretary of Defense if we couldn't just do that. He asked the Chief of Staff if we couldn't use our military against these people.
So where are his supporters today? You know, you can't beat him for calling any other time. They want to point the finger at Hillary Clinton. They want to point the finger at Kamala Harris. They want to point the finger at Democrats. Where is their response today? Even though I know they still support him in that. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Wouldn't it be nice if we were able to talk about the Green Bay Packers instead of this insurrection attempt on our nation?
Yeah.
My gosh.
Well, you know.
Well, they were pretty good. I have to say, that was a solid. We could take a minute because that was a terrific game. That they actually looked like contenders.
They're a lot of fun to watch, that's for sure. But here we are back in reality. And by the way, we need to pay very, very, very close attention to what is going on here. Let's just for a moment take a look at what the morning after would look like. Okay, Donald Trump wins and he starts rounding up, getting his imposing the military and getting the National Guard out and going from town to town, city to city, state to state, rounding up people, illegals, or many of them are illegals. He even included the illegal asylum people as being part of this big, huge roundup. So what we could absolutely assume is going to happen in city after city, state after state, is protests are going to come up. Citizens are going to make their voices heard. They're going to be seen. And all of a sudden now we have military, we have National Guard, and we have protesters. And if we have a Donald Trump in office, what do you think is going to happen to the protesters? And you can count on martial law. The moment there's any unrest, any large-scale protests, I don't care if it be a million-man march in Washington, D.C., Donald Trump would claim and invoke martial law. All this happening, and we have their biggest cheerleader is the number one news source on TV that still, over this weekend, Earl, claimed to be fair and balanced to this day. So, you know, can you imagine the morning after what the risks that we have in front of us? And we have this group of people that are so loyal that no matter who provides what level of evidence that they've been duped and they've been lied to, they won't listen to anybody. They will throw 20-year relationships away over somebody they've never met.
So they're clearly they're clearly not going to change their direction. The people who support him going to go down with him. And you know, Mike, you're talking about what happens if the Democrats win.
If the Republicans win.
But even if the Democrats win, these people are still not going to accept it. Well, and they'll still be following.
But Mike, I think the picture you portrayed is a very realistic portent of what it is that might happen. Because you're right that when he sets about rounding up, he says he's going to increase the force of the ICE by 10,000 so that they can carry out this roundup. And he's talked about using the National Guard and the Army if necessary to carry out this roundup. And he will end up, he says, rounding up million like the world has never seen before, like his constant verbiage, rounding up millions and millions of people, which of course will have there will be a boomerang effect from that. There will be reactions. There will be protesters. And then the question, you're very right, is how does he handle those protests? Well, I guess he would label those protesters the dangerous lunatic left, the ones that are trying to undermine the government. And we can be pretty sure then how he will handle it, because he's told us. So, you know, I think the threat to the stability of our country is extreme. And I think you've painted a very accurate picture. And I think people who are going to vote for him ought to think about the morning after and all of this bravado talk. And if it gets implemented.
Well, the people who are going to vote for him apparently agree with all of that. Because if they didn't agree with that, they've heard him say the same thing you and I heard. They heard him make those statements.
Well, if they agree with that, then they need to look at themselves in the mirror each morning while they're shaving or otherwise primping.
Well, the reason I say, Sandy, that they agree with it is because they heard him make the statement. They have not come out and said, that's a game changer for us. Those who call here and support him on a daily basis aren't calling now. We're talking about the ones who we know support him. But I'm talking about the people who are silent and are going to allow this to happen with their votes. And so they could prevent this. But so what are they doing?
He's painted, and a bunch of people have bought into the notion that immigration is a big threat, and all these immigrants in the country are somehow a threat to the nation, and we need to purge ourselves of them, okay? He talked about how they're ruining our genes. I mean, he got into actual racial talk. But the fact is,
that's what's at the root of it.
But these people need to sit back and think, okay, that's bravado. That's talk. What's this going to look like? What's it going to feel like? And how is it going to be accomplished? And when you get down to the look, feel, and how, it's a frightening picture. All of these people should have been terribly angry about the fact that when Congress acted to try and put together a bipartisan bill to have an orderly process for dealing with all of this, it was deep sixed by Donald Trump, because he wants the drama of the problem, and I think he likes the idea of the drama of his solution, which is this massive roundup, which is the most un-American kind of picture you can ever paint. We still have shame about our roundup of the Japanese during World War II.
Hey, Mike, you want to finish your thought?
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, we just touched on society's problems. The economic ripples through our society and impact is going to be worse than the civil strife. So we need to take a good hard look at reality and what the morning after.
Hey, Mike,
because it's ugly.
My fear, thank you very much for the call. My fear is we're not going to. Tom from Richland Center, you're next up, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Not making light of anything you're talking about, but Earl, I got a place for you out in the sticks where we grow our own food if it gets to that. Come on.
You say what? You have what?
You can come out to our place if the boogeyman comes. We'll take care of you out here.
Hey, what boogeyman? You think what Donald Trump is talking about is not real?
No, I'm saying if it does happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it does happen, I got you covered. That's all I'm saying.
All right,
I appreciate all your hard work.
All right, go ahead.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for the call.
Mike made a good point about the economic effect, because Wall Street has predicted that the growth of GDP would definitely, the growth rate would go down if, in fact, Donald Trump could effectively purge us of all of the immigrants that he's talking about eliminating, because actually they have had a positive effect on the growth of our GDP.
Well, so Sandy, here's a guy named George, and he says, Earl and leftist Sandy, of course, illustrating lunatic hyperbole. So this is not lunatic hyperbole, sir. Read what Donald Trump is saying. You know, or maybe if you don't choose to read, you know, then listen to him. And he clearly is making these statements. Nobody's making this up.
I mean, that's
a prime example of what we're talking about.
Well, if to the extent that Donald Trump is preconceiving what he does, that's the shrewdness of it, because he acts in totally outlandish fashion and has ever since he emerged on the scene, and then gaslights people for taking him up on it and talking about the outlandish things he says by basically dismissing them as, well, that's just hyperbole. I'm just exaggerating. I'm just whatever. But, you know, he has exercised hyperbole. He has exercised this talk, this process of being outlandish from the beginning. And the question has always been, well, how much of this is outlandish and how much of it is his actual process? When he was president, he asked his aides whether he couldn't use nuclear weapons to solve hurricanes. Okay, this is a very primitive thought process, but it's not in the confines of the secrecy of his discussion with his aides. He demonstrates the same sort of extreme thought process.
You know, Sandy, I would say to George, if what we're talking about is hyperbole, then as Sandy stated earlier, if you look at all of those people who were in his cabinet before, who are giving warnings to everybody, major cabinet positions that were held in his his presidency, all are saying, hey, this man is insane. Don't do it. And more than anybody else, George Bush's vice president.
Well, Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney. Of all people.
Well, Les Cheney, I bet, but the list is very long.
I know.
And they warned us not just that he was crazy, but that he was dangerous, that he was not fit, that his thought processes were.
And they've done this publicly.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, they did it publicly because they apparently were worried enough to put themselves at risk, because his tendency to seek revenge is clear.
All right. 8:48. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. a Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior, and he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm not saying two. I'm not even saying three. What I am saying is 4, 5, and 6.
May I remind my unread May I remind my
noises on the radio, megaphones on cars, summons from the street of shame, bottle talk in bars, posters in suburbia, experts on TV. Don't let them disturb you, they're just the powers that be. No matter who you vote for.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we're talking about, you know, the inherent danger that appears to be growing more each day as we get closer to this election from Donald Trump and the Republicans. I'll send you the music.
Well, it's about voting. That's by a group I had never heard of, but it fit the bill. It's the Bonzo Dog Doodah Group, which I think is some kind of reggae operation. But it was about voting. We got 3 weeks to vote, and everyone's got, if those who aren't locked in have a decision to make, so it's about that process.
All right, let's go to CJ. CJ, if you're going to talk about the subject we are talking about, you are welcome. I'm not going to allow you to change the subject, so it's on you. That's correct.
I love it when you guys put me in a box.
CJ, every other radio show in the nation, the people who call deal with the subject matter. So you're not being put in a box. You called, you heard what we're talking about. You want to respond to that, fine.
Yep, we're a country of laws, and there's one president that believes in laws, and there's one that doesn't. And the one that's in office right now doesn't, and that's why you're terrified, because every law enforcement organization, including ICE, immigration...
Hey, CJ, so I'm going to cut you off right
now.
Well,
wait a minute.
Wait, hold on, Sandy. So here's what I'm going to say to you, CJ. What do you have to say about Donald Trump making threats to arrest people he disagrees with? What is your thought on that?
What does this president do?
Respond to that, I'm going to cut you off.
No, I want to ask CJ a question about this, because I've been thinking about this ever since I saw the clip of Donald Trump talking about the lunatic left and the need to use the military to round them up, that they were a bigger danger than the immigrants that he was talking about. So he was differentiating between exercising the law with respect to immigrants. He was talking about using military force against the lunatic left. And I wanted to ask you a question. Are Earl and I part of the lunatic left?
I think pretty close.
You're okay. Pretty close. All right. So if we're part of the lunatic left, then should I be fearful when Donald Trump gets elected that the military will show up at my door because of the views that I have expressed publicly?
Well, what has this President Biden done?
No. I'm asking, Donald Trump is the one who set the table for this discussion, because Donald Trump is the first person I've ever heard from the presidential stage talk about using the military to suppress those people who he felt were a bigger danger to the public. And he described that danger as being people who represent a political view which he describes as the lunatic left.
Sandy, CJ understands that. He's not going to respond to that.
Well, I think he ought to. I'm just asking these questions because this is the way you go through a process in the university, for instance, to make yourself think about it. Because you're talking now about a candidate that you support who's talking about using government suppression with respect to political views. And I just am horrified by it. And I, you know, first of all, am I lunatic left? I don't know. I view myself as a centrist. But if I expose myself as being in disagreement with Donald Trump, I guess that makes me a lunatic left person. I mean, what do you think about his threat, CJ? Just answer that question. Don't deflect it by talking about the other candidate or whatever. What do you think about his discussion about using either the National Guard or even, if necessary, he said the military, the federal military, to deal with this enemy from within, which he described as the lunatic left?
Well, there's one candidate that wants to eliminate ICE, and there's one
Thank you very much, Rico. You know, I mean, it's a waste of time. He's not going to respond.
Also, this candidate that he's referring to doesn't want to eliminate ICE. I don't know what – I think they talked about reforming ICE. She talked about reforming ICE at some point. But she has announced that she would, number one, sign that bill that called for adding 1,500 people to ICE immediately. And she's by no means opposed to ICE. And I think we'd find that the there are a number of law enforcement agencies who favor Kamala Harris.
So, you know, we've just spent this time continuing to talk about the inherent threats of a man who clearly is off kilter. And I don't care what you say about Kamala Harris and the Democrats. There's no comparison with the threats to democracy that this man and those who support him present. No comparison whatsoever. And on the other side, we're gonna talk about, you know, the black vote and the fear that the Democratic Party has with it. So hang on, if you're on the phone lines, we'll come to you first on the other side. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams.
I'd rather express feelings, my warmest. The other day I was kissing a French man through a photograph, and words again, I said.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. If it's Tuesday, it means it's Tuesday Tangents with our very own Luke Mathers. Find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What are you too embarrassed to do alone?
I can't go into the library without a date.
Interesting.
Yes. I'm no loser.
Grocery store.
Yeah.
You prefer to do that alone.
Absolutely.
When I used to go with my roommate, he would take longer than me, and I'd be sitting in the car with all my groceries for like 20 minutes.
I can't even shop with my wife. She's browsing, and I respect that, but I can't do it. I'm a mission guy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.